Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, engineers, one and all. This here is Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com. I'm your podcast and hostess, Amelia Dalton, and this week we're looking into the future of our machines, and most importantly, how we interact with them. My guest today is Tal Kishpoff, VP Product Management at iSight Technologies. Tal is here with me to discuss the future of HMI, the intuition inherent in human-machine interfaces, and how we, as designers, must look through the eyes and hands of the consumer to truly understand how our designs will be used. Hi, Tal. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So, first off, what is iSight all about?
iSight is a computer vision company. We use computer vision technology, the ability of machines to see and interpret whatever they're seeing, to develop natural user interfaces. At its core, iSight solution is based on software, which gives it a lot of flexibility in terms of the way that we implement the technology. So you can find us on millions of devices in the market, from TVs through PCs to mobile devices such as phones, tablets, and we typically leverage the camera that already exists on the device, the standard 2D RGB camera, and with our software, we recognize certain things that happen in front of the device. So, for example, we can generate a gestures-based interface, which is completely touch-free.
Now, do you think we are seeing a shift away from traditional inputs and outputs of HMI, like keyboards, toggles, and switches, to more hands-free forms? And you guys recently announced a new product that can bridge the gap between the traditional forms, right?
Sure. So to address your question broadly first, I'm not sure that we can think about it as a shift, but rather as extension and expanding the ways that users interact with devices. Because ultimately, there is no one interaction modality that can rule them all. Nothing is perfect. It's the combination of different interaction modalities that typically can provide a truly complete experience. If you think, for example, about a PC, my PC, the Lenovo X1 Carbon, it has keyboard, it has a mouse. We're all familiar with them. It has a touch screen. It has a Nuance Dragon voice recognition. It also has iSight technology, the gesture control, shipping on it, which is touch-free. And all of these interaction modalities have their place and time while interacting with a PC. So I don't know that there is truly a shift as much as exploring more and more. Naturally, certain devices lend themselves more to one or two modalities as opposed to the rest. So small devices obviously don't have a place for a keyboard on them. On the other hand, devices that operate in a noisy environment, they would probably not work well with voice commands. So it's often about finding the right mix and ensuring it makes sense in the scenario. Now, you've mentioned the device that we recently announced, SingleQ. One of the reasons that we developed SingleQ is that not all devices are new. We have today in the world a lot of new devices being developed to embrace hands-free and touch-free technologies. But at home, people already have a lot of devices with joysticks and remotes and touch panels and what have you. And all these devices, there is no reason to forget about them or to ditch them. So we decided to embrace them and new devices and announce SingleQ, which is a device that connects and controls your media devices and smart home functions touch-free. Essentially, it's a small box that sits next to your media setup. It identifies gestures the user is making and translates them to infrared commands to all the legacy devices that we have at home, such as the TV, receiver, set-top box, DVD player, many others, streamers, as well as Wi-Fi commands for the new smart home devices. So this is a way to bridge the gap and bring devices that currently have a more traditional means of control and enhance them and create actually a simpler experience, one that creates a single point of interface for all these devices together in one touch-free experience.
Let's talk about designing HMI interfaces. Do you think the design of HMI is becoming more intuitive over time? And why do you think engineers need to have a better understanding of how consumers want to interact with their devices?
I think it's pretty obvious that in today's world, consumers have more and more choice. The rapid succession of new product launches is staggering. And with all this choice, it also means that the threshold for exciting users and also gaining their approval and adoption continues to rise. Users have less and less patience to learn new devices, to understand new devices. They want the device to understand them, to capture the intent of the user without the user needing to go through manuals or through complex series of actions. I think it's not a question these days. It's absolutely clear. We have to cater to the needs of the users, and not just the needs, but the convenience of the users. And any action that we can spare them in addition or in parallel to increasing the benefit is absolutely crucial in designing great experiences.
I definitely think you're right about that, Tal. So in that same vein, do you think designing for HMI has become more intuitive over time?
Yes, absolutely. It's no secret the market leader here is Apple, with the great user experiences. But I think the realization that I voiced now is absolutely not my private realization. It's public domain, and many companies embrace it and try to pursue as intuitive and as simple products as possible in order to make them friendlier, more delightful, easier to use. Because when something is easy, it's more fun and we want to use it.
Okay, so other than Apple, which is a pretty big example, can you give me a couple more specific examples about what you mean?
Absolutely. As an internal example, from my side, I can give a specific reference to Single Queue, where we're trying to simplify things, and all it takes is the user to raise their finger and pinch in the air, let's say that they select the watch TV activity, then their TV, their setup box, their receiver, if they have one, will all open up. The TV will switch to the right input, say HDMI 1, the receiver will switch to the right input. So without reaching your hand to anything, just by performing this pinch in the air, all the devices that you need turn on and set themselves to the right inputs. That's the level of simplicity that we see, obviously, that we take as a direction for ourselves, but we see as a whole in the market. But there are also external examples that I can give you. I'll give a shout out to a great idea that I saw on Indiegogo from a company called Flick. And they are working to develop a button that is connected through Wi-Fi. If I recall correctly, they use the IFTTT protocol, which means that it's a small button, one button on it. You place it anywhere you want throughout home. When you press on the button, it sends one command somewhere. This one command can order pizza for you. This one command can open the lights. This one command can do, I don't know, mute the volume. So you can fill your home with buttons, or you can use one for a crucial task. What's great about it is that it's a button that is wireless, which means that you can position it anywhere you want at your convenience. And it's very simple. It's very simple because it does only one thing. And I bet there are a lot of more examples that we can think of, but I'm not sure that we have the time to cover them all.
That's great. I'm going to check out those guys on Indiegogo. Are you ready for your off-the-cuff question, Tal?
Sure.
You have one more meal on this planet. You're about to expire for one reason or another, and you have one last meal before you kick it. What would it be?
Wow. I think I love cooking and baking, and I love pizza and focaccia doughs. So as much as a foodie I am, I think I'll go back to the basics and a good calzone or pizza as something hearty to sink my teeth in. That would be it.
I love it. All right. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Tal. This was super interesting.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Cage match, smackdown. Two boards enter, one board leaves. Yes, folks, this week's news you may have missed is brought to you by Element 14's Dream Board versus Battle of the Boards contest. Do you like the bracket action of the NCAA basketball season, but find it's not quite geeky enough for you? Well, this contest might be right up your alley. The Element 14 community has received nearly 2,500 submissions from their members who mixed and matched components to build their dream development kits. Then, the top members helped them narrow down the entries to a sweet 16 number of favorites, and now you, yes you, can help decide which one becomes the ultimate dream board. Every Monday and Thursday, the Element 14 community will post two new dream boards for you to vote on. The winner of each match will progress to the next round until the Element 14 community finds the dream board of 2015. And said dream board of 2015 will be announced in July of this year. If you want any further information about this contest, and yes, I have already voted on my favorites, you can check out the link below the player on this week's fish frying page on eejournal.com. And heck, if you have already entered this contest and you would like to encourage folks to vote for your board, send me an email at amelia@eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. By clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, yes, I will see you at the Design Automation Conference in San Francisco, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of May 29th, 2015, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.